When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail.
It's Fun Away Daily. Adam Collins with you. Cam Ponson be with me. He's at Ratchcock. We're here for Westfield London. Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. Day one, India, England, third test match. Cam, sum it all up, as is the custom on these daily shows, in 30 seconds.
India, 326 for five, two centuries in the day. They won the toss and it looked like it was going to be an absolute disaster for the home side. 33 for three, were England going to bowl them out in a day? They had a brittle middle order coming, two debutants. It was all looking like it was going to be England. And then Rohit Sharma and Jadeja put on a 204-run partnership, both reaching centuries. And despite a little run out at the end of the day, you've got to say, India in pole position.
Yeah, it feels different to how it did when we were talking at Vizag after day one, where I think India were 370-odd for six, something like that. So further ahead with runs, but just the rhythm of the day with England having them 33 for three. And look, you know, I usually, my bias is towards not focusing on drop catches. That's a part of the game and all the rest of it. But gee whiz, 49 for four. Root snaffles that in the cord, and then Rohit's gone on 20-odd or whatever he was at the time. And we're, in all probability, having a very different conversation. Rohit Sharma eventually advancing to his 11th test ton, his third against England. His first there at Rajkot, and batted supremely. The way he was able to move up the gears and down the gears as required, that 92-run middle session where they didn't lose a wicket, was just like proper senior pro stuff for both him and Jadeja. They ultimately have a standard 204, which is undone by the short ball strategy. We might come to that in a bit. But yeah, England did have their chances, a couple of DRSs that didn't go upstairs as well. So yes, it's India's day, but England did feel in it for most of it.
Yeah, Rohit Sharma's innings was a bit weird in that he had two, so he was dropped on 29 by Joe Root, and it was a really tough chance, but it's one of those chances where the more time goes on, the more you go, oh god, it'd been amazing if it stuck. It was kind of Joe Root at first slip off Hartley the spinner, Rohit Sharma aiming into the leg side. It doesn't look like it's going to go to slip, but it does down to his left. XYZ, what a catch it would have been, and what a catch it would have been had it taken India to 49 for four. But the point is that Rohit Sharma was on for 29. That happens. Then he gets given LBW, or vice versa, overturned, 29 for two. Then, on 47, Tom Hartley pins him on the pad, and it's umpire's call. They don't review it, not out on the field, whatever. But it wasn't a case of, like, from start to finish, he was flying, it was a cruising, it was all fine. Then, and I'm going to be able to bring more stats to this show, you'll be very pleased to know, because I'm now in the TalkSport CricViz WhatsApp chat, and there's some beauties going on. And really good is that I can't remember the actual detail of it, but once Rohit Sharma passes 50, he averages roughly 7 million against off-spin. And this was when, like, Joe Root was trotting into bowl, and I was like, oh god, here we go. But once Rohit Sharma was on 50, it did then just, the feeling in the ground changed. It became one of those instances where it was, right, if this is the kind of stereotypical cricket match in India. India are going to get 550 against the opponent who is toiling away. England are going to get about 300 in reply, and then it's all going to be over. It's set up for that. If we know anything from this England team, that's probably the last way it's going to play out. But in terms of your kind of stereotypical test match in these parts of the world, we're set up for that trajectory, I believe that's a word.
I think the stat is when Rohit gets to 50, he averages 150 in Test cricket, something like that.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
yeah. It was when they put the grind on England in the middle. You know, they only went at 3 and over for the third hour of play. And that's what they needed to do. They needed to be consolidation because they lose wickets on 22, 24 and 33. We should go back to that. Jaiswal, who was supreme last week at Vizag, out to Wood for 10. And then Shubman Gill out to Wood for naught. And that was a fine piece of bowling from Mark Wood. Bowled the majority of the nine balls that Wood that Gill faced, rather, were from Wood. Yeah, starting wide of the crease and getting closer and closer and eventually getting on the tail away and finding the outside edge. So I know that Shubham Gill's likely to become public enemy number one. That tends to be the way. Now, Shreyas Iyer's been dropped. There's got to be someone in the Indian top six who the crowd are into, and it'll be Gill, despite making 100 last week, it feels like. Well, he and Pattadar, to be fair. Pattadar playing his second test, and he needs to make it work because Safraz Khan looks an absolute star on arrival. So Pattadar playing a dog of a shot. He just completely misread that delivery from Hartley bowling in his first over of the test match and gets caught at cover inexplicably by Duckett. But yeah, you throw Jaiswal, Gill and Pattadar falling early at 33 for three. It meant that even with that big partnership of 204, that England were only ever a couple of wickets away. And they do get wickets in unusual ways at unusual times. And maybe that's part of what Ben Stokes has brought to the captaincy, that this belief that they've got with the bat, it does translate to the ball and in the field as well. So when Mark Wood decided to go bounce-a-thon, which you can't do for long, right? Like, we know from talking to fast bowlers around the world, from the lived experience of watching them, that strategy can work for 3 or 4 overs, then you're knackered. And they had a go at it for a couple of overs, and it worked. Rohit Sharma placing a catch to square leg. So, you know, 237 for four is a little bit deceptive because it feels like India are bossing the day because of that partnership. But the 3 wickets early on meant that England did have a toehold regardless.
Here's another stat for you. It was the first time that England have taken 3 wickets in India in the first 10 overs since 1972. What a treat our listeners are in for now. I've got access to this information. It's going to be remarkable. And also, more to the point, what vindication for England is going with the two seamers. Jimmy Anderson and Mark Wood bowled into the ground today. Yeah. Both of them finished with about 17 overs apiece. And Mark Wood, the first ball was just kind of hard length, causing indecision, high pace, etc. All the buzzwords to get Jaiswal to kind of leave one to first slip, if you can picture that in your minds. And then the two punch coordination to get Shubman Gill. His first delivery's nipped in really viciously. Second one's held its line all the way through. Brilliant bowling. Great. Like, so excited for Mark Wood, who went wicketless in the first test match in Hyderabad. And then Pattadar. Oh, my God. Like, at the time, I believed it. I had my most sympathy for him at the start of the day when it happened. Because I went, oh, that's unlucky. It's stuck in the pitch. And then Jadeja and Sharma put on 200 together, and I went, did it stick? Did it stick, Pattadar, or have you had an absolute stinker today? It was such an unusual... You just don't see that type of dismissal at this level of cricket, where the ball just balloons so gently to cover. Really tough going for him. And more precisely because then Safraz Khan, the latest player off the conveyor belt, comes in and plays the most wonderful cameo at the end. That was so exciting and predicted by us here, because we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about Safraz deeper into the show. Just on that accumulation phase, if you want to call it that, the acceleration, which was so well timed. So the first 100 runs put on between Rohit and Jadeja, by necessity, owing to the 3 wickets we've already discussed, needed to be relatively risk-free. And that was kind of like the third hour of play, let's call it, did follow that rhythm. But from about hour 4 and certainly in hour 5, they did put the foot down. They scored 45 runs in the first 10 overs after tea, and they probably hit 45 in the half an hour before tea, or whatever it worked out to be, the 10 overs before tea. So they timed their run really well. So when Rohit fell, that was right in the middle of that. So credit to England for changing it up and keeping things interesting. But the way they were able to handle Hartley, especially, he started a new spell about, let's call it halfway through the middle session before Rayan Ahmed bowled that marathon spell either side of tee. And first ball of it, Rohit Sharma down the track smacked him straight back over his head for 6. Now that's the sign of someone who, historically, this is Rohit Sharma, has backed his swing. He did the same thing to Joe Root. Joe Root came back into the attack after tee, first ball straight back over his head. So Rohit makes these calculated decisions. Sometimes it doesn't pay off, but with all the experience he's got now, been around the national team for well over a decade. Well, 15 years if you want to include T20 cricket as well, but more than 10 years a test player now, but in the role as test captain for a couple of years, he can live a little when he's in. It's the first time he's been really supremely in through the series, notwithstanding the chances you rattled off before. And then Jadeja, for the most part, played the supportive role and did so. And he really did slow up, and we shouldn't brush over that. Jadeja did slow up dramatically when reaching the 80s and 90s. I wonder why. But the hard work was done, and that meant that they were always going to end up 300 for something credible by the end of play.
Yeah, I think Jadeja's innings, because Rohit Sharma was the one kind of rattling it along, kind of taking people back down over their heads, you kind of looked up and eventually you go, oh, but Jadeja's playing as an equally important hand here. His 50 came off 97 yeah. balls. It's very rare. I think the stat was it was only the second time he'd been in the first 10 overs. An interesting decision, really, because it means Safraj is dropping one further down to where he'd kind of normally be comfortable to bat. You're placing the two debutants together at 6 and 7, although Kuldeep Yadav did come in as a night watchman at the end of the day's play. But India, kind of, they like having these left-handers in their top order, and they decided to keep with that kind of strategy, as it were. And then towards the end of the play, once Rohit Sharma got out, at that point, kind of tradition dictates that Jadeja takes the mantle and the other person at the other end can kind of play their way in. That wasn't the case at all. Jadeja basically crawled to a stop when he got to the 80s and the 100 was kind of within touching distance. And he was able to do that without causing any real damage to the team, because Safraz, I keep on trying to force him into the conversation. So excited. He basically ended up getting a runnable 50 on debut. Yep. His fourth ball, whilst he was on zero, he went for a big sweep, fell over. I fell in love with him even more, because I was like, that was stupid. And I like when people do stupid. I like when elite athletes do stupid things, because it endears them to me. And he just started kind of taking the piss, to be honest. Like, I can't remember who said this on Twitter, but I thought it was a good kind of take on the situation, to use the lingo, that kind of Safraz was being the player that Shreyas was expected to be in terms of taking down the spinners, being that aggressive option in the middle overs, middle order even. And it led to a really kind of demoralising passage of play for England, because it was kind of fine. I know Jadeja and Rohit Sharma just put on 200, but it was fine. Like, they'd got their kind of go at the start of the day, and they're in that position of, well, if we can nab two quickly, we're back in the game, we're back ahead.
Yep.
They got one quickly. Well, they got one when Rohit Sharma spooned it to Ben Stokes in mid-wicket. And you think, here's the opening. This is when England are rewarded for that early burst. No, Safraz Khan slammed the door shut in their face and basically meant it ended up as a well-played England, you're a long way behind day.
Yeah, he kind of did and he didn't he? So 62 from 66, and he was superb. Maybe it's because of the body type, but he did look like Rohit. And I mentioned Rohit taking spinners on down the ground. So did Safraz. Tom Hartley hit him back over his head for six. Give Rayan Ahmed treatment as well. More with a sweep shot against Rayan Ahmed, who bowled 13 of his 14 overs in one spell. I thought Rayan was going to come off after five or six overs. He dropped a couple down half trackers as Stokes kept backing him. Finishes with none for 53 from his 14. But yeah, back to Safraz. He looked in complete control after about 20 balls. Not even. They put on 77 and he made 62 of them. He was the senior partner. All the attention was on how quickly he'd bring up his 50. It was a 48 baller, which is the equal quickest for an Indian on Test debut.
Great stuff.
Hardik Pandya also made a 50 in 48 balls in Test cricket. And just looks born to be there, right? As you'd expect with the apprenticeship he's laid across many years in the Ranji Trophy, averaging 70. He's got a triple ton in domestic cricket as well. So had to wait his turn, takes full advantage of it. Looks like he was a mortal lock to complete 100 on Test debut as well, before he is absolutely burnt by Jadeja. Oh. We've talked about the positivity of Jadeja's innings. We should talk about how it slowed down. My view is that, look, let's go back a little bit here to the World Cup, Cam. You and I recorded many of the World Cup daily shows in my kitchen downstairs here. And over time, we understood better the importance of personal milestones in Indian cricket. A lot of people in our comments were corresponding to us saying, you don't get it. You guys are finding it odd that they're stage managing Kohli hundreds, but you don't understand how important it is to us, the country, and what it does for the team more generally, being able to celebrate the personal milestones. Okay, cool. Get it? Understood. However, there's almost an unwritten rule when you're playing that game. When you're crawling towards 100 to make sure that you can do the celebration and the sword and all the rest of it on your home ground and all that you don't hinder your team's interest when doing so. And by running out Safraz, he's done that. England have got the late wicket. They do have the night watchman there tomorrow. England have started pretty much every single day of this series well. They've won of the, what have we had now, 9-10 days of test cricket? I reckon they've won the first hour 8 or 9 of those times. Maybe one time they haven't. So if England win the first hour again tomorrow, they might bowl at India for under 400. But if Sarfraz is still batting with Jadeja, that's a far more difficult task. And Jadeja does barbecue him. He's on 99. I get the nerves of being on 99, although I haven't been there myself personally, but I understand how that must feel, having a half a chance to mid on for the single. But calling him through, then stopping him there, having the stumps pinged down, one stump to aim at from Mark Wood, that was a fine piece of fielding, having been out there all day and bowled a number of spells as the big quick in the England team. But for Jadeja to have the go slow, followed by the barbecue, it did take some gloss off an otherwise excellent innings. And I feel for Sarfraz, because it felt like this was going to be one of these important special innings in the history of Indian Test cricket, where he gets to 100 on Test debut and we celebrate that forever. Instead, 62, it'll be memorable for those that watched it, but it won't stand out in quite the same way. And that's due to Jadeja.
Yeah, I loved it. As I said earlier, I love when elite athletes do stupid things. He got caught, so but it plays both ways. So Sarfraz is aware how important it is as well. And so he's gone. He's ready to get called through by his mate, gets turned around, and Wood gathers, yep, hoists the stumps down. He throws it so hard. I was brilliantly right behind it. And I was actually filming it for the other company I work for. There's the stands to see the crowd reaction. And so I kind of only had one eye on it, because I went, right, okay, they're running through for a single. And I actually looked back at the crowd, and rather than it being a case of like, yeah, it was, oh no, because obviously he's just out, and you couldn't really tell from the angle how far out Sarfraz was. But when Sarfraz started walking towards me, I realized, oh, you're miles out, okay, that's you're no longer batting.
Yeah,
I don't think I feel as strongly that it's hindered his team in the go slow, because they kept on ticking along. Obviously the run out hinders the team because they've lost someone who was batting brilliantly well, but I think that's kind of part and parcel of it. I don't know if I would be too, I'm trying to work out if it happened in a game I was playing in, yeah, I think I'd actually be ticking at the bloke who did it. So yeah, I've decided I agree with you, Adam. Jadeja, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And can I just tell a quick anecdote, actually, for in the context of when India were 30 for 3, you might just be able to see over my right shoulder, there are some nets, basically. Well, the nets that are attached to this ground. Chiteshwar Pujara was having a hit here with his stateside whilst the test match was ongoing, whilst Pattadar was chipping the ball to cover. And you're thinking, God, I wonder if you could have a hit right now. That would be really, really good. But yeah, something to go on to that with Jadeja's 100, and I want to touch on this in the Hall of Fame as well. Yes, he was able to get the sword out, but he also ruined the day for him, because he knew what had happened. The next ball, he's got his 100, he's barbecued his mate, and so the helmet stayed on. It was not extravagant celebrations at all. It was a quick sword and a kind of a sad celebration, because yeah, the door had been opened for England again. We're going to get the new ball in Kuldeep Yadav tomorrow. We've got someone on debut. You never know, England could take 3 for spit, and it's a different game. Hey, crucial first hour tomorrow.
Well, this is it, isn't it? That's what I mean about the adverse nature of that go slow. It's that there was, I suppose what I mean is, there was so much focus on getting 100 on the home ground there at Saurashtra, where he's made it a triple 100 before at first class level. He's made a test 100 before, but there's so much riding on that personal piece that India have been adversely affected by that. I don't suppose that we can rewrite history in a way that, or I know you can't, that changes the way things were, but had he just kept playing the way that he was playing. Anyway, it's a moot point now. Also a moot point, the two reviews that England didn't take. So Rayan Ahmed to Rohit Sharma, no review. It's a difficult one because he was sweeping and it came off both his arm and his helmet. So there's a lot going on there, a lot of moving parts. So that's I kind of forgive England for not reviewing that. The Hartley-Jadeja one, though, that's not great cricket from, and I'm going to say Hartley here, and I feel for Tom in saying that because he's the one that's bowled the ball, but he's got the best view of it front on, and yes, it's a bat pad one. Is it bat or is it pad? But Hartley, a vociferous appeal, but when it was turned down, he didn't even litigate the case with his captain. I think sometimes there the bowler's got to take a little bit of ownership and go up to the skipper and say, actually, mate, that's bang on, and I reckon that's pad first. And if it's pad first, I've got him at 3 reds. He didn't even it reminded me of early Nathan Lyon, and I don't mean to have a crack at Nath here, but early in his career, whenever he took a test wicket, he looked surprised by it, like he was almost embarrassed by it. He got two in an over against England at the Gabba in 2013, and on both occasions, he got the wicket, went straight back to his bowling mark and barely celebrated like he was embarrassed. There was a little bit of that in the body language from Hartley, like, oh, don't worry about it. I know we've already burnt a review on a pad one with Anderson at the start of the session. I don't want to be responsible for that happening again. And off they went. But that was three reds as well. So there were two opportunities which could have improved England's day, but not to be. And yes, I think that's most of the day gone through. So India closed at 326 for five, with Jadeja still there on 110, not out. He's got Kuldeep Yadav for company on one. Cam, should we go to the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
With your consent.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Going to the gym is not for everyone. Maybe you're not sure where to start. Maybe you want to spend your free time surrounded by gym bros, or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't want others to be embarrassed when they see the two Burmese pythons you call arms glistening with sweat as you pass your 1,000th bicep curl. That's where PT Pods come in. Sheehan's on fire again. PT Pods are a private workout space you can book by the hour. And while that may sound like something from a lad's weekend in Amsterdam, they're the perfect flexible workout space for the modern world. PT Pods are private, open 24 hours a day, bookable from as cheap as 16 quid per hour, and include virtual PT sessions, weights, mats, and Bluetooth speakers. And if that's not enough, you can book an in-person PT or use it as space to run your PT sessions from. Download the PT Pods app today and get started. There are two pods at Westfield London, so you can work up a sweat on your next visit. Their website is ptpods.co.uk/about. We'll pop that in the show notes. Take a look. It's pretty interesting as a concept, and you'll be able to see all of what they do. PT Pods, Google Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. So a private workout space, yeah. The stuff we get to talk about here.
Yeah, sorry, can I just clarify what the fuck we've just been talking about? What are these? So there's like it's like a space where you go, you can hire like a studio gym, basically. It's just a little bit so you can do your push-ups, basically.
Yeah, so they supply the stuff and you go there for 16 quid per hour and you do your thing in the shopping centre. As opposed to having a membership that you probably bought in January, new year, new me, and didn't go as of February, like a lot of people do. This is as it's put here, more the Amsterdam model of pay by the hour. Or by the quarter hour or whatever it works out to be.
I'm all in.
Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. Why don't you go first, Cam? Your final word moment of the day, Hall of Fame.
I'm going to go Rohit Sharma and his 100 celebration. I've already mentioned that Jadeja didn't take his 100 off because a bit of embarrassment there. But Rohit Sharma going lid on when he brought up his three figures, I love that. It's so just arrogant and confident, going like, oh, it's just another day. Why would I take my helmet off? I loved the kind of... I just love the manner of it. It reminded me when Ben Stokes got to his 100 in against Australia at Headingley. No celebration, the kind of job's not finished vibe. And it's why, and I always got annoyed about this, when Carlos Brathwaite in the 2019 World Cup brought up his century when Windies were 9 down in that miracle game against New Zealand. I think they needed like 5 to win. And he celebrated his 100. And I was like, no, I love 100 celebrations, but this isn't the end. It's not finished. So I loved that from Rohit Sharma. And my kind of just to add on to that, I got a message from a mate which really made me laugh when Sharma spooned it to mid wicket, and he just said, has Rohit Sharma just pissed away the first ever Test 1000? And I was like, you're 850 ahead, but yeah, fine. It made me chuckle.
There's probably a nice piece for the magazine for you in this, Cam, about subtle celebrations and when Ooh. They're rolled out. So, you know, the one you're the genre there of the job's not done. So Stokes at Headingley stands out. Stokes at Lords even in 2023 when he reached three figures, he didn't really celebrate. There are others, I just can't quite reach to any of them right now, but I've seen that in other instances. Oh, Glenn Maxwell against Afghanistan when he gets to the 100 and doesn't really acknowledge it. He obviously acknowledges the 200
Perfect.
When they win.
It's so good.
Mark Waugh only took his helmet off once for making a Test 100. His first century, that was on debut. He raised his took his helmet off and did all of that, but never took it off for any of the other 20 Test centuries that he recorded.
I love that.
There's one for you, Cam. A freelance idea to pitch to Phil Walker. It was next edition of the Mag.
I've both enjoyed that, and it's also, on the flip side, I love it in international cricket. In club cricket, if I ever see someone like not raise their bat for 50, I'm like, mate, I know this isn't an everyday event for you. You're here. You're averaging 23. Enjoy your two or three moments you get to do this a year. Get the bat up. Take a moment.
Yeah, other Rohit, I love the Rohit response to the Sarfraz run out. Not sure if you've caught this on highlights, but he went fucking nuts. He got his hat and chucked it into the floor, and you could tell he was just getting stuck into Jadeja, they've played so much cricket together, they just put on 204 together. But Rohit knows, I guess this is the other point here, to go back to the serious bit for a sec. Rohit knows that the way the England team are, if you give them a slither of light or a crack to work within, they tend to work within it. And Sarfraz falling late in the day kind of constitutes that as we go to day two. The other thing, on television, they were absolutely obsessed with how many sixes Rohit had hit. He hit three today, right? And that took him past Dhoni in Test cricket. At, I don't know what number it is. It's in the 70s or 80s or something like that. But they had that graphic ready to go the minute the ball went over the ropes. And there was another Dhoni factoid in there today about the number of sixes Rohit's hit in international cricket. I think he's only behind maybe Owen Morgan, something like that. And the other nice Hall of Fame bit today, just to back in Sarfraz yet further, I cannot wait to follow this guy's career. The cap presentation this morning, when he received the cap, then went and showed it to his old man who's been with him all the way, and a lot of shots of his parents today up in the crowd. But his dad getting the cap and kissing it and crying, I mean, that's just gold, isn't it?
That's
isn't that just
stuff,
the best?
That.
This means it's the people that go on the journey with you. And Sarfraz having to wait this time, and you know, it's another reminder today that when it comes to cricket, it's sometimes more than skin folds. I know this guy doesn't look, you know, he doesn't look like an athlete in the modern 21st century way, but fuck, got great hand eye, beautiful sweep shot, bangs it down the ground, takes risks at the right times, and let's hope it's a long and productive career for him at the top level for India. I think that's me done. You done as well, Cam?
Always done. Never done? No, I'm done.
You're done? We're happy. Okay, well, we'll do it all again tomorrow for Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. There's another daily in the feed as well. An extraordinary first few hours of the Test match at Perth, where South Africa were bowled out for 76 and Australia at one stage were 12 for 3 before they rallied. Lisa Healy made 99 for the Australians. You can hear Jeff and Bharat Sundaresan talking about that, as they will tomorrow, as will Cam and I when we return for day two at Ratchcock. Until then, bye from us. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant. I had to go about it.